Support for the Exchange podcast from NHPR comes from you, our subscribers, and from
Edvest and You, a local New Hampshire nonprofit providing college student loans and student refinancing options. Information online at nhstudentloans.org or by calling 1-855-887-5430.
From New Hampshire Public Radio, I'm Laura Kanoy, and this is The Exchange. New Hampshire tourism promoters call the Great North Woods a nature lover's paradise, a wilderness dreamland, and it's easy to see why. The state's northernmost tip between the Canadian border and Berlin offers rugged hills, lush forests, inviting lakes and streams. So it's an easy sell to visitors, but what's it like to live in this region? From jobs to public health to infrastructure to demographic decline, many residents admit making it work in the North Country has its challenges. Still, people like Rhonda Ledger, who grew up in Groveton, say there's no other place like it.
I prefer the Great North Woods because this is God's country. And anybody that wants to come up and just live the simple life, this is where you want to be.
Today in The Exchange, we kick off a new summer series called Going Local. Each Thursday, we focus on one region of our state, and you can help us get to know your area. What do you love about your region, and what don't you love? What's your number one wish for your region? And what do outsiders not understand about where you live? Email us. It's exchange@nhpr.org. You can use Facebook or Twitter at NHPR Exchange, or call in 1-800-892-6477. And as we begin this series today with the Great North Woods, our guests are Charlie Jordan, editor of the Colebrook Chronicle, a weekly paper covering the North Country and Southern Quebec. And Charlie, always a pleasure. Thank you for making the trip.
It's so great to be back here.
Thank also you. With us, Lisa Paris. She's principal at Groveton High School and a lifelong resident in the region. Lisa, really nice to meet you. And thank you also for coming in.
Thank you.
Also with us, Ben Gatchens Olson. He's planning and zoning coordinator, grant administrator, and emergency management director for Lancaster. And Ben, welcome back. Good to have you too. We really appreciate it.
Well, thanks for being invited. I appreciate it.
Well, first question for all of you, and I'm going to ask everybody every week on this series this same question. But to you first, Charlie, what do people from elsewhere in New Hampshire not get about your region?
Oh, I guess I get a little weary hearing about how remote we are. I mean, we are up in the top of the state, but, you know, there is so much of an advantage to being where we are because in an afternoon I can take a drive through three states and two countries and be back home in time for dinner. I mean, if you like to see different areas, Vermont is a different place than New Hampshire and Maine. And certainly you get above the border, 90% Francophone language. So I find it a very exciting place to be.
Right. And remote is a relative term, right? Like
right.
Remote from what? Nashua and Manchester, okay, but not remote from Quebec, not remote from Vermont or Maine.
Exactly. You know, again, if you get a, you know, if you're not afraid to be, you know, in a culture where it's completely different, take a drive up to Sherbrooke and you can go to a 70-store shopping mall if that's what you want to do, you know. But it's a beautiful area, it really is. And it's, you know, it's probably where New Hampshire still lives, I think.
You know? What about you, Lisa? What do you find yourself sort of explaining to people from elsewhere?
I think people from elsewhere often equate the North Country with a lack of education and a lack of level of professionalism. And I think it's important that people know that the North Country produces excellent students, people who go on to post-secondary and then choose to come back. So we have a great level of well-educated people who live in the North Country and who choose to be professionals in the North Country. And it's a choice to be a professional in the North Country.
Now, that's interesting. So people just assume if you're from the North Country, you're less educated.
They assume we're less educated and that our greatest desire is to get out.
Wow. All right. We'll pick up on that in a minute. I want to bring you in as well, Ben, though. What do people from elsewhere in New Hampshire not understand about the North Country?
I don't know if it's not understanding, but a comment I get a lot of times, and I think it's one thing that makes the Great North Woods special, is that people are very friendly. There's visitors that come here that are run into a bind or some trouble, and a local resident will help them out, whether it be directions or car repairs or something. And the common is, you know, where I come from, that would never happen. It's amazing how people are just friendly and welcoming to you. So I think that's it's a surprise to people, but that's really what a big part of why we're a special region.
How much do people, Ben, lump you together with the White Mountains, by the way?
All the time.
I bet, I mean, right?
When you say the North Country of New Hampshire, pretty much the North Country for most people begins at the Lakes region and heads north.
And you say, no, not us. So.
That's right. Exactly.
Well, and we've got maps on our website for more detail, but just for the radio, Charlie, what communities does the Great North Woods, that official designation, include?
Well, it goes from the Canadian border in Pittsburgh down to Whitefield, Lancaster area. It goes just above Route 2 over into Berlin, does not include Gorham, and up through the Androscoggin Valley up to Errol. And it's, we used to be part of the White Mountains. And the way in 1998, they had this different designation of the Great North Woods. And we are different. I mean, people in the White Mountains are, climbing peaks and things of that type, and shopping like Conway. Our area has been fishing and snowmobiling, and now, which we should talk about, is ATVs. That's a major factor in the North Country. So it is different, the Great North Woods.
It's a separate designation that you guys pushed for, right, Charlie? Different vibe, different culture.
You know, the joke
you wanted to be separate.
I used to hear all the time was that, if you stopped for gas somewhere like in Concord, we were the part that they folded back on the map because, it was too big of a state, and who goes up there?
Okay, I didn't fold my map. I just want you to know that.
But, we are, we really are a special place. I agree exactly with what Ben's saying, too. The people are very accommodating. And, it's a long winter, but it is everywhere in New Hampshire, right?
Our phone number for you to join
us.
There
really are two New Hampshires.
Yeah, go ahead,
Southern New Hampshire, Northern New Hampshire. And I think if people took the time to really get to talk, even read the local newspapers online, get an appreciation of some of the difficult issues that go on up north, they'll have an appreciation that of their particular topics and issues that go on a day-to-day basis.
So people from down south, if I could put it that way, don't get it and don't really care to get it? Is that what you're saying, Ben?
Was that to me?
Yeah.
I think that they do. It's just as far as the friendliness, I guess they just don't. It's something that's not. There's more suspicion potentially in down south or when somebody walks up. You normally wouldn't have anybody walk up offering assistance to a perfect stranger at times. So where people come just sometimes out of the woodwork if there's trouble to help somebody out. It's something that many say that it's not what they're used to, and not necessarily New Hampshire, but people from other of the surrounding states that border New Hampshire, even in New York.
All right. I want to remind listeners that we're kicking off a new summer series today in the Exchange called Going Local. Each Thursday, we're going to introduce you to one region of the state, what's special about it, what its challenges are, and what it's like to live and work there. And today, we're beginning the series with the very top of New Hampshire, the part of the map that we should not fold over, as Charlie Jordan said, the region known as the Great North Woods. You can join us, 1-800-892-6477. Send us an email, exchange@nhpr.org. Whether you live in the North Country or you enjoy going there, we'd love your questions, thoughts, observations about the Great North Woods as we kick off again this series called Going Local today in the Exchange. Our number, 1-800-892-6477. You can send us an email, exchange@nhpr.org. And one more question before we go to our listeners and before we talk about some of the many challenges of the region. I wanted to know about your own history and connection with this region. Obviously a special place for all three of you, but Lisa, how about you? What's your background with the North Country?
Sure. I'm a lifelong resident of Grofton and the North Country. So having grown up in the North Country, I think helps me understand the culture and the climate that we want to promote in our school. And that's a love of sense of place. So when we have students who love and understand where we are, then they're more likely to take care of where we are and not want to abuse our beautiful resources or abuse our communities. So having grown up there and having a love of the great North Woods and the great outdoors, I can try to instill that in the students that we come in contact with and hope that they will want to take care of our communities in the same way that we do.
And just remind people who may not even know where Groveton is in the North Country. Most people listening probably know where Berlin is and Pittsburgh and Colebrook, but Groveton's a little bit tucked away.
It is, and we're near Vermont. We're right on the Connecticut River, but we're kind of in central Coos. And Coos was a great manufacturing center for years. We've somewhat lost that. So we are looking for other ways to be vibrant and to be able to support our communities. We're a tax-based system, and it's very hard to raise taxes locally to support things that that we need municipalities. So I think it's important that our students do well, go away, get a great education, and want to come back because they've embraced this lifestyle.
Is that what you did?
That's exactly what I did.
Yeah. How about you, Charlie? What's your history with the region?
Just following up just for a moment on what Lisa said, you know, I used to feel like one of the most saddest things to cover in our newspaper were graduations because you felt the sucking sound of the brain.
No.
Yeah, but I'm seeing more and more younger people now coming back to the area, just like Lisa says. There's also encouragement to bring them back into the area by the, you know, the employment base in there. But just from my own standpoint, I've been actually, I could almost say I've spent my lifetime in the North Country. I was a teenager when I moved up into the area in Clarksville, and I've lived there for, giving away my age here a little bit, about 40-something years now. And absolutely love it. I've, you know, I was born in Connecticut, but I've always been a northern New Englander. And there's something about New Hampshire that is just so cool. I'm a political geek kind of, and you know what that's like, Laura. This is the place to be every 4 years, you know, and it's fun stuff.
Lisa?
So I think it's so unique that we have students who come to school with their fishing poles and then leave at the bell to go fishing. And we can't offer students to hang out at the mall. But what we can offer is, at the sound of the tone, at the end of the day, students can take off and in 10 minutes be on a hiking trail and be at the base of a beautiful waterfall. Students can take off from after school on their bikes, go out on the backside of the river, throw in a line, and catch a fish. Those are things that we embrace as a lifestyle. We can take a day off and go skiing, go ice fishing. We have a great District 1 fishing game, and our conservation officers come in and work with our students, and they go ice fishing. I don't know many other schools in New Hampshire who can boast those things. So, no, we can't go hang out at the mall, but we can do these other things that are really more lifelong and embracing who we are.
Love to hear your background too, Ben. Yeah, with the region. Go ahead.
I just wanted to add on to what Lisa said. I think that what those examples that Lisa was giving are perfect examples for what is bringing some of our youth back. They are gaining an appreciation for the area, for the wonderful amenities that we have. They're not learning that the only time you can have fun is to go to a mall, which obviously we don't have an awful lot of, but what you can do to have fun is enjoy your natural environment. And that is that's a big push nowadays for getting the youth involved in the community and in love with it, so they find a way to come back and stay, whether it's right after college or later on in life when they're ready to raise a family. So it's pretty important that way. So it's good to hear Lisa highlighting that.
Well, again, we're welcoming your questions and comments about the Great North Woods as part of this summer series that we're kicking off today called Going Local. Each Thursday, we're going to introduce you to another region of the state, what's special about it, what its challenges are, what it's like to live there. Again, today, we're looking at the very top of New Hampshire, the region known as the Great North Woods, and let's hear from you. Our number, 1-800-892-6477. Send us an email, exchange at nhpr.org. nhpr.org or respond on Facebook or Twitter. It's NHPR Exchange. Kelly on Facebook says, I lived up north for 15 years. I wish people knew that the state doesn't end at Lincoln. People don't believe me when I tell them you can travel 2 hours north from the Old Man of the Mountain, still be in New Hampshire. It's a great place to live if you have a steady job. It's very quiet and peaceful. But if you need shopping and restaurants and to be close to airports, it's not for you. Also, winter comes early and stays late. Thank you, Kelly, so much for the comment. Let's take a call, and Mark is joining us from Laconia. Hi, Mark. You're on the air. Welcome.
Hi, good morning, and thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure.
I've been a lifelong resident of New Hampshire, and I've done a fair amount of traveling in the North Country, and it is such a beautiful region of the state, and it's such a wonderful feature. But I just want to make a comment about the welcoming aspect. It seems your guests are a little over-expressive about how welcoming it is up in the North Country. And case in point, a fair amount of traveling I do, I see a tremendous amount of displays of Confederate flags as well as other memorabilia on vehicles and businesses and ATVs. And while it may be a very welcoming and warm area for a majority of people, for minorities and other groups, it's not necessarily quite so welcoming. And I believe there is a lot of xenophobia that needs to be overcome in the North Country to truly make it more welcoming and open to other groups.
Well, Mark, thanks for the call. And also, I hope you'll contribute your thoughts to our show on the Lakes Region. So go to exchange@nhpr.org and submit your thoughts there about the Lakes Region. But what about that, Charlie Jordan? Welcoming if you're white, but if you're not, not so much.
Well, you know, I beg to differ a little bit on that. I mean, I'm in Colebrook, and we are a crossroads major. If you live in Toronto and you're trying to get to the main coast, you're going to go right through Colebrook. I saw a group of people that were obviously Pakistani yesterday in Colebrook, and you know, they stopped at the subway and you know, restaurant there. And I think people just think that that's cool that there's different people coming through. We have a very heavy Francophone population that comes down. And I dare say Francophones have rightly some concerns about other places in Canada they go to, you know, speak English. And we have a very predominant French language population up in Canaan in that area. So, you know, I think, yeah, there is certainly that to a degree. But I think it's expanding as more time goes on. We do get the internet. We do get satellite dish. We're not operating out of a box, you know. So we're aware of the world out there. And we hope more people will find us welcoming.
What do you think, Lisa?
I think it's not an intentional slight by any means. I think it may somewhat be a lack of exposure. And the best thing that we can do is be friendly and encourage people to feel welcome and want to come to the North Country. So point well taken by Mark in the Lakes region. But I think it's a learning curve for all of us. We are somewhat isolated. We are somewhat insulated. And our lack of diversity doesn't necessarily mean that we are uneducated in diverse fields, but we need to expose ourselves more. So I think Mark brings a good point, but not fully in agreement with him.
Well, thanks a lot for that call. And after a short break, we'll take a lot more of your calls and your comments. You can email us, exchange@nhpr.org. You can respond on Facebook or Twitter at NHPR Exchange. So coming up, I will ask all three of you what some of the two or three biggest challenges that your region faces, whether it's demographics, the economy, transportation, infrastructure, all that. We'll cover that coming up after a short break. And again, let's keep hearing from you. Our number, 1-800-892-6477.
Hello?
NHPR Summer Car Raffle is back.
Oh my gosh, are you for real?
You could drive away with $2,000 in gas cards to use at any gas station, or you could win the grand prize, $25,000 toward a new car.
No, I never won anything before. That's terrific. I'm going to hyperventilate now.
But you can't win if you don't play. Get your raffle tickets now, just $50 each, or six for $150 at nhpr.org.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today, the first in our new summer series, Going Local, where each Thursday we explore the regions of New Hampshire. And this hour, we're talking about the Great North Woods. Next week, we'll be looking at the seacoast. We'd love your help with this series, so visit nhpr.org/exchange to find out when your region is coming up, and also to submit your thoughts or questions about your area, and pictures, too. You can join us right now as we talk about the Great North Woods. Email is exchange@nhpr.org. Facebook or Twitter, it's NHPR Exchange. Or, of course, give us a call, 1-800-892-6477. Our guests are Charlie Jordan, editor of the Colebrook Chronicle, Lisa Paris, principal at Groveton High School, and Ben Gatchens-Olson, planning and zoning coordinator with Lancaster. And all of you, let's go right back to our listeners. And Sue is calling from the Seacoast. Hi, Sue. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi. I'm enjoying... And my question is, you know, despite having lived in the Seacoast for about 9 years, I'm embarrassed to say I've actually never been to the North Country. And with this gorgeous weather and great summer we're having, if my family and I were to venture up for a day trip or a weekend, what would you recommend that we do? You know, what are the types of activities that are up there that could draw people up there? We're outdoorsy people. We like to swim and hike. You know, we obviously would need a place to have lunch or something like that. So what would we do if we came to visit?
Wow, Sue, I'm so glad you called. And Ben, I'm guessing everybody on this panel is like, yes, I love this call.
Yeah, no,
go ahead, Ben, what would you say?
Well, I mean, there's plenty of stuff, and it's great that she mentioned hiking. There's plenty of hiking of all different levels up here in the Great North Woods. There's one of the furthest north 4,000-footer is actually in Kilkenny and Lancaster, and that's Mount Cabot. There's a trailhead in Berlin. Near the fish hatchery, so that's one opportunity. If you're kind of a more advanced hiker, there's shorter ones. There's Mount Prospect in Lancaster that you can walk right up an auto road. You can go further north into Groveton, and I believe, and Lisa could probably correct me if I'm wrong with that, Stark or Stratford is Percy Peaks. Those are some beautiful hikes. There's the Connecticut River for canoeing, kayaking, fishing. You can go up to Milan and take a rafting trip down the Androscoggin. Some of my family just did that a couple weeks ago. And then for eating in downtown Lancaster, we have a couple of bakeries and cafes, the Polish Princess Bakery and the Granite Grind. There's a new bakery that opened up in Groveton. Colebrook has a tremendous amount of food opportunities there. Bakeries and wonderful restaurants. So I would recommend you contact the chambers. There's the Northern Gateway Chamber, there's the Androscoggin Valley Chamber, and there's the North Country Chamber. Errol has their own small chamber of commerce as well.
Well,
and they can really direct it
there's
better.
So much. And Sue, I really appreciate the call. And I want to let you and others know that on our website, we've got links to, you know, the state tourism websites and other Visit New Hampshire website. So go to nhpr.org/exchange. Sue, there's a lot of information there. And I know everybody on this panel is thrilled that you called. Katie contacted us on Facebook. She says, I ran a business out of the North Country for 6 years, and my favorite part was asking people who I was trying to hire where else they could be working at their desk on a Friday afternoon, and just 20 minutes later, they could be catching a fish or on a ski slope, and my employees all knew the best secret fishing holes. So, Katie, thank you, and that kind of relates to what you said earlier, Lisa, about your students being able to bring their fishing poles to school and then heading out for their favorite fishing hole after school. So, Katie, thank you for that. You can contact us as well. It's exchange@nhpr.org if you want to email, or Facebook or Twitter, NHPR Exchange. So all of you, you love the region. It's beautiful. It's great. Sue wants to visit. What about the biggest challenges? I'll start with you, Sue. If I had to, you know, ask you to list maybe two of the biggest challenges that this region faces, what would you say?
Lisa.
I'm sorry. Yes.
From an educational standpoint, I think our biggest challenge educationally is the budget cuts that have come from Concord and really affected the North Country in a way that it almost is debilitating when, you know, we are losing so much of our stabilization grant funding. Over the next 25 years, it will, you know, equate to almost $1.5 million that will have to be absorbed by local taxpayers. And that's just in the Northumberland School District. So I think that we need to get our legislators on board in understanding that education in the North Country is different because we don't have the manufacturing tax base anymore, and it's all dependent upon local taxpayers. So I think that's probably our greatest challenge is the lack of funding and the lack of support that we're seeing lately from Concord.
So because our school funding system is so property tax based, you're saying the property tax base keeps getting smaller, so there's less and less for us to draw from, so we need more help from the state.
Exactly. And so many of our costs are sunk costs that we have no discretionary funding left. So everything that we're paying for now are things that we don't have the ability to eliminate. Their mandates, their requirements, either from the federal or the state government. So, you know, we're being squeezed, and it's really inequitable for the North Country.
What would you say, Charlie, two biggest challenges that your region faces?
I think the biggest thing we're missing that we had been used to for generations is the large-scale employer. I mean, you used to have the Balsams Hotel, you had Ethan Allen Furniture, you had Wausau Paper. These are all gone. And the biggest employer right now in Colebrook is Upper Connecticut Valley Hospital. You know, of course, we've got the baby boomers, and there's more of us now needing health care, but healthcare, keeping up with those demands is important. So how do we get people that are used to having, you know, there was a great book by Jamie Sion about the Groveton Mill that came out. And it was called, I think it's called A Job for Life or something like that, which described the way a lot of people viewed the North Country. Farms are gone. It used to be farms were passed down from generation to generation. Logging has been cut back substantially. So we're really tourism now. This is a big part. Tourism, healthcare, education, these are big factors in the North. And I'm seeing more and more people gravitate into those areas as they've lost other jobs. Many people worked at the Balsams have gone into healthcare or education.
I know, right, because the Balsams is still shuttered.
The Balsams is still closed. Yeah, I also want to say that, you know, as far as yes, there has been cutbacks out of Concord, but what's exciting for our particular area in Colebrook has been the boom of the arts. You know, we have just making some major news this week is that the Great Northwoods Committee for the Arts has just bought the former Shrine property south of Colebrook to build an art center there, to turn it into an art center. There are, you've got the Weathervane Theater. I think it's in its 52nd year now. You've got St. Karen's. You've got all kinds of. Now, who's funding these? Most of these are being funded by the people who live there. I mean, you know, they're supporting this. So we're seeing a greater benefactor kind of phenomenon happening in the North Country as Concord has cut back, for example, in the arts. And it's working. Bill, you know, there's a lot of that in the factor. So there's pluses, minuses. But I think a big factor, too, that I see is the challenges of the ATV phenomenon. The ATVs are kind of what the snowmobiles were back in the 70s. They're trying to find their place. And we run letters. Last week, I think I had three letters about people. I live in a back road, and these things go by, and there's dust, and there's noise, and you know, so it's still trying to find itself, but that's some of the challenges I think we have.
Well, talking about industry and the switch to tourism, NHPR's Dan Tuohy traveled to the Great North Woods to gather thoughts from people there, and I want to play a little bit of what Dan found in his discussions. Here's a little from Bob Ouellette. He's the owner of the Errol General Store. He told Dan what he thought the region needed more of economically.
We used to have more manufacturing. We've lost all our mills. We've lost our Isaacs and Steels in Berlin. We lost the mills out in Groveton and Berlin. We've lost all kinds of industry. You know, we could use them.
Again, that's Bob Ouellette talking with Dan Tuohy. What do you think, Ben, this shift that Charlie talked about from heavy industry to tourism?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, tourism is nice. And in my opinion, up here it's the low-hanging fruit because all you have to do is put a picture of the area on a poster and say, come on and enjoy the outdoors and people will come. But
I don't think that, just like years ago when a lot of these communities in the region relied on the paper mills and manufacturing, you can't rely on one industry. And I don't feel tourism also is a high-paying industry universally for all jobs. So I think there needs to be better diversification. Tourism is a great one great piece of it. We do need to bring back some manufacturing. I'm not sure whether on a tremendous scale that we used to have is appropriate, because we found what could happen when there's some downturns and closings of that nature. But, you know, some manufacturing, I think more entrepreneurship and innovation of smaller businesses is a good direction to push and to encourage up here. That way you can have that manufacturing, but on a smaller scale and more diverse, so you're a little bit, you can adjust to some downturns and stuff. We just were fortunate in Lancaster a couple of years ago, a couple moved their pretty innovative manufacturing jobs to a small warehouse in Lancaster where they basically used to just manufacture skis, and now they manufacture many different things. Companies will contact them and say, hey, here's a prototype, can you manufacture it, and try to develop a mass manufacturing process for it, and then it gets built up to a higher level that can then be shipped out from there. But they can be lean, they can work with many different industries in their business, and there's only room to grow with them.
So feeling, Ben, that the North Country shouldn't put all its eggs in the tourism basket, so to speak?
No, definitely not.
Let's go back to our listeners, and then I want to ask you a couple more questions about tourism, its development. But Mike is calling in from Plymouth. Hi, Mike. You're in the air. Welcome.
Hi. I just wanted to call in to say, Lisa was talking earlier about being a lifelong resident up there, going away and coming back. I'm one of those people who grew up there, went to Stratford School, graduated from Groveton, moved away to pursue a career, got married, started a family, and we can't wait to move back. Retirement's not too far around the corner, and we will be back there. And she also had responded back to a gentleman who called in about maybe not being quite as diverse in the North Country, and opening up to people who are coming in. And in relation to the four-wheeler aspect that one of the gentlemen was talking about a minute ago, you can't get much more welcoming than 90% of the trail system being owned by private landowners, opening their land up for anybody to come in and tear it up with their four-wheeler and not make a penny off it.
Good point.
Mm-hmm. Four-wheeler meaning ATVs for those people who are uninitiated. Yeah.
We call them four-wheelers up there.
Yeah.
and also with the diversity, like Lisa was saying, we're not exposed to it a lot. And when someone does come in, if they have a flat tire, one of the local guys will come by and change a tire for them. But also the biggest thing is with not welcoming some of the diversity up there, the people that come up from either out of state or down south and are disrespectful to the land and the trails, we don't like that, because that's our land. We take care of it, and we expect people to treat it with respect.
Well, Mike, if I could ask you a question, it's really interesting to hear from you. I'm so glad you called. So why did you leave in the first place? Sounds like you love the North Country. You can't wait to get back, as you said. So how come you left?
I did leave up there because I wanted to pursue a career that wasn't available to me up there. Much like some of my in-laws and other family members, when the example that I used, the paper mill shut down, my father-in-law followed that paper mill out to Wausau, Wisconsin. And guess where he is now? He's right back in the North Country.
Yeah.
So as soon as he got the chance to come back, he did. And that's my plan.
All right.
Everybody up there is just close.
Mike, it's great to hear from you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I really appreciate it. Sounds like a familiar story, Lisa?
Absolutely. I think people often leave to pursue post-secondary, pursue a career, get some great training, get some great jump on their career, and then have something to offer and bring that back. And that's what we need to see more of, I think, is the students pursuing post-secondary, becoming that professional, and bringing that professional level back.
Well, as we talk about the economy, all of you touched on tourism. And Charlie, you mentioned how tourism is developing and changing. I want to play a little bit from Dan Tuohy's roaming around the North Country, talking to people there. Here he talks to Bill Batchelder. He was visiting the North Country from the Seacoast, so he doesn't live there, but he goes to the North Country a lot, and he told Dan why he just loves it.
Nothing beats it. It's the greatest. We're from Hampton Beach area, yep. We come up 5 or 6 times a year. The whole family comes up. We go ATVing, see moose, deer, bear.
Yep.
It's very nice.
So again, that's Bill Batchelder talking to Dan Tuohy. So what do you think, Charlie? I'd love your thoughts on the way tourism has evolved and developed in the North Country, especially in the last 20 years or so.
Well, I think the thing is that, you know, we've recognized really why we're there. You know, the issues have brought many people together. And it's a love for the landscape and the natural beauty. I mean, you know, we've got the Connecticut Lakes up there that has been a tourist attraction for practically a century and a half, I would say. People have been coming to Pittsburgh for that. And I think, you know, the challenge is to really to fill the needs and the ever-changing face of economics everywhere. I mean, retail is having a problem, but retail's having a problem everywhere in the country.
Absolutely.
You know, people are buying more and more online, unfortunately. But restaurants, I mean, the young couple purchased the Moose Muck Cafe, which is a great name and it's a great place. And they came from Burlington, and they moved from Burlington, Vermont to Colebrook. That place is packed. I am telling you, when you go by there on a Saturday, there's cars from Ontario and you know, Massachusetts and Connecticut. People have found their way there. They're in there with their Wi-Fis, you know, their phones and everything, and you can get a great cup of coffee too. So, you know, you got the French Bakery, the Le Rendezvous in Colebrook. People are finding these things. So it's like tailoring to this growing interest. The economy seems to be a little better as far as people traveling around again. We get really hit hard if the gas prices go up in the north. But when, you know, since stabilized, things seem to roll along. Yeah.
Well, and speaking of Wi-Fi, I'm glad you mentioned that. Ben, one issue that I hear from people in the North Country all the time is I can't expand, I can't grow if I don't have reliable high-speed internet access. So update us on that, Ben. How is that situation right now?
I mean, it's slowly getting better, but I mean, it's certainly not at the level where it is in other more urban areas. But, you know, we have the cell towers are going up and are becoming a benefit. There is more providers providing internet service for companies. I think where a lot of the issues happen are some of the smaller businesses or people that want to move up here and live outside of town but work within their home that might not be able to get internet, you know, high-speed broadband internet access to their home because they're too far out of the town centers. That's where there are some major issues. But I think for the most part, for larger manufacturers, that is getting better. It's certainly not perfect, but it is getting better, and there's all a big focus on that. And it's all part of the infrastructure. I mean, before, infrastructure used to just be water and sewer. You know, now there's telephone, there's internet, there's cell phones. So it's just a progression on what the past issues are.
All right. Well, coming up, we will talk more about this region of New Hampshire as we kick off our series, Going Local. We're focusing for our first show on the North Country, the Great North Woods, as it's officially called. And coming up, a couple of more issues I want to tackle with all of you, including looking at social structures, communities, families. We've talked a lot about substance abuse here in the Exchange, so we'd take a look at that as well. And then later on, I'm going to ask you about your own favorite place in the North Country. So start thinking about that. You can join us as well, 1-800-892-6477. Send us an email, exchange@nhpr.org. More of our series, Going Local, in just a moment. This is The Exchange on NHPR. This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today, it's the first in our brand new summer series, Going Local, where we explore the regions of New Hampshire. We're starting off with the Great North Woods. So if you live there, what do you wish outsiders understood about your region? If you're not from the North Country, what have you always wondered about the top of our state? Let's hear from you. Send us an email, exchange@nhpr.org. Again, exchange@nhpr.org. Respond on Facebook or Twitter. at NHPR Exchange or give us a call, 1-800-892-6477. We have three guests for the hour. Ben Gatchens-Olson is with us, Planning and Zoning Coordinator, Grant Administrator, and Emergency Management Director for Lancaster. Also, Lisa Paris, principal at Groveton High School and a lifelong resident of the region. Charlie Jordan is here, editor of the Colebrook Chronicle, a weekly paper covering the North Country and Southern Quebec. One more time, the number for you to join us, 1-800-892-6477. Here's an email from Dave who says, as a resident of Southern New Hampshire, New Boston, where we have four full seasons, foliage, skiing, mud, and chainsaw, I was wondering how hard it is to get around the North Country in the winter. How bad do the roads get? Do you get cabin fever? Dave, thanks for the question. And we were talking about infrastructure earlier, Charlie, and Ben mentioned that, you know, today we have to think about roads, sewer, and high-speed internet access. What about the transportation infrastructure, though? How well would you say that is doing these days? There's been a lot of talk about this.
Well, I think there have been some major improvements. I mean, when you have an area with so few roads, paved roads, I mean, you have to understand that we're probably 80% dirt and gravel roads still in the North Country, that when you do infrastructure work, like, for example, the road that I live on, Route 145, they put in a new bridge last year. Well, the bridge had to be closed, and I discovered some back roads to get to Colebrook that I had not traveled on in years. It was wonderful, but you know, I was really glad to see that bridge reopen finally, and they're working on a bridge connecting West Stewartstown and Beecher Falls right now. And once that's opened, you know, that'll be a real plus. But they're getting to some of those redlined, you know, bridges. You know, on a day when you're in March and you're hitting those frost heaves, you wish it was a little bit better. But and you're likely to not find a four-lane highway. So if you're behind a tourist during, you know, foliage season, be prepared to watch the view go by.
Take some deep breaths.
Because they're going to be taking some time.
Do you want to jump in on that too, Lisa?
Well, it's funny that the concern is the inability to move in the winter, to move around. And we have the fewest number of snow days of schools in the state, in the
really?
North Country. Yes, we're a hardy crew, and we like the fact that we will get up early and we'll take the time that we need to get where we need to be safely. But we're not timid, and we do what we need to do to keep our students safe. But we're a brave crew in the North Country, and we want our students at school, and we don't have a lot of snow days.
Well, we got a comment from Ray in Dalton. He sent us an email. He says, the concept of keeping our young people in the North Country is a two-sided coin. Our two daughters were 10 and 8 when we moved to the North Country and attended local schools. After graduating, they went to college. Ray says they're now in their 40s, live in Ohio and Texas with their families. He says, we brought our girls up to experience other parts of the country and the world. Maybe they will return to the North Country. Ray says, I hope they are happy wherever they reside. Ray, thank you for the comment. And, you know, overall, Ben, there's been a lot of discussion here in New Hampshire about the silver tsunami, the demographic decline. And from what I understand, it's most pronounced in the North Country. I wonder what businesses there are saying about it and are talking about in terms of solutions.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of discussion about it, and it is real. It's not, a fictional phenomena that the North Country is coming up with, but it's... I do agree with that that email or Facebook post, whatever it was, that you want your children to feel comfortable leaving the North Country and gaining experience, but yet you also want to try to create opportunities for them to come back and reasons to come back. And so it's not necessarily just try to make it so they don't leave, but try to make it so they either want to stay or they want to come back after they get those experiences. But as far as what businesses up here are doing, there has been within the last few years a lot of outreach to not only the community college in Berlin, but also the local high schools in trying to get some internships or some programs, or identifying what needs these businesses have, so the training can be put in place to start training the younger students, whether they're high school students or college students or older individuals that are going back for second careers, so they can get those necessary skills to fill some of the vacancies in the jobs, as a lot of the population of the North Country are retiring and moving on with the rest of their lives. So that there is some progression. You know, it started a little bit later than it should have, but it is happening, and it's a very great cooperative relationships between all of these, the business industry and the education industries, and even the municipal industry too. I'm involved with a few initiatives as far as that goes to try to see what gaps there are and how we can fill them.
Go ahead, Lisa.
Well, I just wanted to add to what Ben was saying. It's important that we as educators work closely with our business community and reach out and find out how we can best serve the needs of our business community. I know vocational education, career and technical education is strong in the North Country. We need plumbers and electricians as much as we need dentists and lawyers. We have a great manufacturing plant that has come into Grofton. We're so thrilled to have NSA in our small town. And to endorse that, the school has taken it upon ourselves to offer more welding courses because they want skilled welders. Tourism as far as Speedway 51, a race car racetrack in our town. Our shop teacher teaches a class in go-kart repair. Not only is that really engaging for a middle school student to think that he or she can work on a go-kart, but it's a great relationship to have with Speedway 51, who is a great draw for tourism in the North Country. So I think it behooves schools to do that sort of thing. The ATV trails are fabulous. We have moms that came in as an ATV sales place, and our students respect our trails, so we have our science students are becoming stewards of our forests and of our trails to protect that ecosystem that we want to promote ATVs on. However, we also want to protect that ecosystem.
Wow, really interesting hands-on work.
Absolutely. So our students may at any given time be out in the woods working on the ecosystem on the sides of the ATV trails. So we have really neat opportunities that's a result of some of the new economic development that's happened in the North Country.
Well, and again, each region of New Hampshire is unique, but there are challenges that every single region faces, and this workforce development, demographic decline, shortage of skilled workers is one that I know we'll talk about with every region.
You know,
go ahead, Charlie.
I think one of the things, you know, people often say, well, how far do we want to expand before we lose the North Country? You know, I look back at an 1897 business directory for New Hampshire, okay? And I look in the North Country and I see places like Factory Village and places like that up in my area where there were these cottage industries making barrels and things like that. You know, that's what I'm hoping to see more of. I usually, when I interview politicians, I say, that's nice, we're going to have another ribbon cutting down at the industrial park, but everybody on this main street would like to double their employment base. How can we do that? Because those are people that are there long term. You get something like the IGA store in Colburn. You know, that in my lifetime, I've seen that go from a small little place down to the end of Colby Street to where it's this major supermarket. That's one family that stayed in the North Country, the LaPearl family. So, you know, these are things that those are the people you want to support. You want to help them get a leg up and continue to bring people into the workforce.
Well, speaking of workforce development, NHPR's Dan Tuohy talked to Joe Kenny, the executive counselor representing COAS in Grafton, and he talked about this economic challenge that, again, the whole state faces of not having enough skilled workers to fill the jobs.
For a lot of our companies up north, you know, having the ability to have skilled workers work some of the manufacturing sites and small business sites, that continues to be an ongoing problem. But also, I think from a travel and tourism standpoint, there has been a shortage in workforce this year, primarily because of the H-1B visa program. It's been kind of has been cut this year because of, you know, various federal thresholds that have been levied down to the state. So I think workforce shortage has been a concern with many of the employers up north.
Again, that's Joe Kenny, executive counselor representing COAS and Grafton. Another issue besides workforce development that we've talked so much about on this program over the years, and that I know will come up as we talk to people from every region, is the opioid crisis, substance abuse in general, but opioids specifically. And Ben, I just wonder how you're seeing the opioid epidemic hit your region.
Well, it's tough, and it's, I mean, I think it's universal throughout the state that you know, most of the emergency calls are police and EMS go to are overdoses. Our hospitals are seeing a tremendous increase in that. My daughter is going to school for nursing, and she's working as an LNA in our local hospital, and she said that she's seen more people come into the hospital than she ever imagined they would be, being a kind of a young, naive nursing student. So it's something that is quite a, it's a burden, I guess you could say, on the development of any community, not only on the workforce, but on the resources that are necessary to try to fix it and repair it, which could potentially go to other uses. So it's, and it can be dangerous as well. I mean, the other crimes and issues that come about from it are, I mean, it can grow exponentially, which is unfortunate.
Well, and it's something, again, that every region struggles with. But in the schools, Lisa, what are you hearing from kids? What are you seeing with kids and their families? Sometimes it's not the children, it's the parents who are abusing drugs.
Right. And, you know, we know our schools are a microcosm of our community.
Right.
So students are coming to school knowing that their parents are using. We have intense anti-drug programming that our students, that we target are primarily our middle school students, but also our high school students. So they're getting this really mixed message. They're coming to us for 8 hours a day, and we're telling them healthy bodies, healthy minds, make good choices. And then they're going home and seeing their, you know, their support system at home declining because their parents are using. So that's a huge problem for
us. It's a huge challenge for you.
It sure is. So we are very thankful for law enforcement coming into the North Country. Most recently, we've had Operation Northern Alliance, that is a conglomeration of lots of different law enforcement who have come in and really helped us clean up some of our communities that are really struggling. And that speaks volumes to our students. So when we hear our students in the cafeteria the day after a huge drug bust, our students know personally many of the people who were arrested. So it reinforces the message that we are sending to our students that we need to have healthy bodies, we need to have healthy minds, and we need to live healthy lifestyles. So it's hard, but students want their parents to get help. So students are actually relieved when we have a coalition like Operation Northern Alliance come in and make these sweeping arrests so that their parents will hopefully change their lifestyle. So we are super thankful for our law enforcement and, you know, New Hampshire State Police and the New Hampshire Attorney General's Drug Task Force and all of the local law enforcement who are really reinforcing this message that we need to have healthy communities.
I think, you know, that I see the same thing up in our area. It would be nice to say we're immune to this, but we aren't. The situation, I think, begins at home. It really does in two ways. One is that either a child, as Lisa says, sees their own household going through this and they're remaining quiet or they're afraid to talk about it, or the parent is completely unaware or says they are unaware of what's happening with the young people in their community. And people need to be more careful with their pharmaceuticals. Don't leave grandma's medicine on the cabinet if you've got a child that is vulnerable. So I think an idea really that it sounds like they're looking at more so is educating the entire family, because I think once you get that structure together, it strengthens what the school and what law enforcement is doing. So bring the whole family in. And don't point fingers, but get everybody up to speed on what's happening out there.
Well, and again, this is going to be a question that comes up with every region of the state. So I really appreciate your thoughts and comments there. Huge struggle for the whole state. Here's an email from Joanna in the Monadnock region. She says, as a single 53-year-old woman, what are the demographics for single men in the North Country? Joanna also says, is yoga popular enough up there to keep an instructor busy? So Joanna sounds like a 53-year-old yoga instructor who might want to move to this beautiful region and meet someone, Ben?
I'm married.
I wasn't asking about you specifically, but.
I guess I could say that the last matchmaking I did, I stuck myself with my wife, and she hasn't forgiven me since, so I'm not gonna light that up. But I think there's, not to be singles.com, but I think there's potential to find love up here in the North Country if you share similar interests. As far as yoga, there's a huge wave of healthy living in the North Country, and it's not just outdoor recreation, hiking, kayaking, skiing. There is yoga. There's some self-defense classes that definitely are physically intensive. So I think that, the right individual with the right initiative and motivation, teaching yoga or anything could do quite a business.
Joanna, I love the question. And I hope that you'll contribute, Joanna, when we focus on the Monadnock region. So thanks for that email. Charlie Jordan, what's your favorite spot in the Great North Woods? Or at least the favorite spot you're willing to share on the radio? Maybe one you want to keep secret.
I would say driving on a back road through some place like Stewartstown and coming upon an old cemetery or something like that looks so New England, because those moments that you remember from a Winston postcard or New Hampshire profile still exist, and that's what I like. Just what you're saying, get away from the computer for a few hours, and in 10 minutes I'm on a back road in some beautiful country. So anything that would fit that criteria, I guess.
You want to give one, Lisa?
Nashstream National Forest.
I've been there. Beautiful. It's lovely. Mm-hmm. Right. So who should move to the Great North Woods, Lisa?
I think a family that wants a different way of life for their children. When you can primarily say, go for a bike ride, have fun, wear your helmet. And that's pretty safe. That's a pretty safe bet that everyone will come home just fine. I think if you want a specific lifestyle for your family, for your children, the North Country is the place for you.
Well, all of you, this has been great. And we could have talked for 3 more hours. I really appreciate you all being here. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And next week on Thursday, we'll talk about the Seacoast as we continue our new summer series, Going Local. You can submit your questions, share your stories, and let us know what people from your region care about. Go to our website, nhpr.org/exchange.
The views expressed in this program are those of the individuals and not those of NHPR, its Board of Trustees, or its underwriters. If you liked what you heard, spread the word. Give us a review on Apple Podcasts to help other listeners find us. And thanks.